Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody's dealing with something. We want to tell you happy Sunday morning. Amen. Elder Livingston will be bringing the message on this morning. We ask you to join us. Sit back and relax. Take some notes. If you have any questions, you know the number, 646-915-9303. And he'd be glad to answer any question. Amen. Now, here we have Elder Gerald Livingston from Push Outreach Ministry, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ as far as it can go.
Good morning to all of you today listening to the sound of my voice. This is Elder Gerald Livingston from Push Outreach Ministries. Today's topic of discussion is an interesting one. It is, God is not fooled. Okay? Now, by the end of the lesson, we will know how God establishes justice for the righteous and punishes deceivers. Recognize and reflect on actions of injustice within the community of faith and identify unjust practices, commit to stop our participation in them, and help others do the same. Okay? Now, there is a whole lot that I just said that we will attempt to cover today. I don't know if I'll be able to get into all of it within the time that is allotted to me, but I will do my best with the time that I have to cover as much territory as possible with regard to this crucial subject. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Amos. Amos is in the Old Testament, one of the Old Testament books. Turn to the 5th chapter of Amos, okay? And today we'll be starting from the 14th verse of Amos, okay? We'll be covering verses 14, 15. Then we will skip over to 18 and go all the way down through to 27, from 18 to 27, okay? Now, Amos was written in 787 B.C. That's 787 years before Jesus Christ was born on earth, okay? God sent his prophet Amos to declare and write what he gave him regarding this crucial topic. Because in the world and in the land, the way things were going on, there was a whole lot of what I had aforementioned going on with regard to deceivers, deceptions, and all kinds of unrighteousness. Now, in the 14th verse, it says, "Seek good and not evil." Okay? Now, before I even begin to read the rest of the scripture, I'm going to stop right there. It says, "Seek good and not evil." Now, well, where did evil start from? All right, what's the origins of evil? Well, way back before, when we were first created by God from the dust of the ground, there was a tree in the Garden of Eden, all right, and it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all right, and God gave man dominion over the entire earth, over all the fields, the foods, the animals, everything, and he told Adam that, he told Adam that don't ever eat of the tree of the knowledge of good, the tree in the midst of the garden. He said, "Thou shalt not eat of it, because in the day that thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die." Now, when he told Adam not to eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, that was a command by God that God gave with regard to what was off limits. And Adam's obedience was being tested. Now, Adam's obedience could have been tested for a tree. You know, we don't know the period of time, the designation of time, how long it was before he got around to doing what he did. But eventually he got around to doing what he did because there's something in man that even though he can be an authority and be given great power and riches and everything, he always got to, sometimes somebody tells him that he can't do something, he got to try to defy him eventually, one way or another, or see if there's something else behind it, okay? Now, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it said the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what it was it was not the intention of God to for man to ever know evil, okay? It's because before that transgression in the Garden of Eden, man did not know evil. He did not know fear. He did not know worry. He did not know confusion. He didn't know any of these things, okay? Because he walked with God in the cool of the day, and he was with God in the night. God fellowshiped, and he walked with man. You know, he was with him constantly. However, because man listened to the woman God gave him and entered into agreement with her in terms of what she had done and participated also, that's what caused all of the problems we got today in the world. That's what's causing all of the wars, you know, and all of these spirits running around and, you know, that evil. Now, good is when you obey the laws of God and you do things that give God glory, that is good. However, when you do things that are not, you do things that are contrary to what the Word of God says, or you entertain the philosophies of this world. There's this one philosophy. You know, I'm sure all of you know what the philosophy is. I don't have to name it, but you all know what it is if you've been to the institutions, the college and everything. There's this one philosophy that says man is God, and once man dies, there is nothing else. Okay? Now, if that's true, and a person entertains and believes that, the man, instead of being moral, which the Bible specifies he should be, he becomes amoral. Well, what is amoral? Amoral means there are no morals. Whatever you consider to be right is right, and whatever you consider to be wrong is wrong. That's amoral. Okay? So when a person is walking in amorality, they have no judge, they have no jury, they have they have no accountability. They can just do whatever they want. Therefore, in the world, that's why you got all of these different things going on, you know, all these perverted things of the flesh and all of these evil practices. And in the legal contracts, when people do deals, you got people who are unscrupulous sometimes who slip things in between the word and they try to deceive somebody for their own purposes or their own gain or whatever. And because the person may not be paying attention or looking, they may slick it off for a while, okay? But see, God is a good God. Eventually, all evil will come to its ultimate conclusion of being exposed. Now, it may not be exposed while we are here in this dispensation of life, while we walk the earth in our tents of our body, but eventually one day, okay, God on his throne of justice, Jesus Christ, when he sits on his throne, one day he will judge all of the deeds that were good and evil in the great white throne judgment, okay? That's the judgment after all of these dispensations of resurrections and stuff. Well, but every man has to come to accountability who was not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and did things that were evil, okay? Now I'm going to continue to read. It says that you may live. Now, what is, now you say, well, I'm living now. No, no, no. You are living now. And you are an eternal creature now. Why? Because when you die one day, you shed the body, or you shed, you know, the tin of your flesh, you will continue to still be living. So you do live. But the question is, where do you live in terms of your eternal destination one day that you will go to? What destination will you go to? Will you shed this body of flesh? Will you go to be with God throughout eternity? Or will you go to where all of the wicked and the evil go to be tormented forever and ever? Now, the enemy doesn't like people to think about that, because that's why he's got these philosophies out here about, well, you do your own thing and you live it up and everything, so when you die, there's nothing more. And a whole lot of people, unfortunately, are bought into that lie. Okay. Then you have these other philosophies going around where if when you die, you don't die. You just come back again, and you'll just be something else. You'll be transformed or transfigured. Look, the enemy is a liar. Okay. And what he does, as long as he can keep people from reading the Word, the Holy Scriptures of the Bible, and understanding the Word of God and accepting it for what it says and not being rebellious in their heart, you know, and not have all of these tendencies of the flesh that are greedy, self-seeking. A lot of what sends people to hell, people, is selfishness. Man wants to put himself on the throne of his life. He wants to control his life. He wants to run his life. He wants to call the shots. He don't want nobody telling him what to do. And then he wants a congregational, he wants a following, so people he can have around him that he calls himself controlling. All right? Now, all of those spirits and all of that type of nonsense is straight from hell, okay? God didn't make man to lord over other men. He made man to work in conjunction with each other, to be, to help each other, to show other people, share his gifts that he may have with regard to them getting to where they're trying to go, exchange gifts, exchange knowledge, okay, and not exchange how to do it the wrong way and be evil, okay? That is what God has done in terms of the gifts that he has provided for man, all right, and he has given each of us. So we will live forever, okay? This right now, you can look at it this way. We just in a neighborhood, okay? This earth is a neighborhood, or you could say it's a laboratory. Because one day, when our bodies go to the dust of the earth, we're going to leave the laboratory of the earth. And we're going to go into the laboratory of eternity with or without God. But when you go to be with God, it's no longer a laboratory, okay? You just go to be with God forever and ever, okay? And then if you don't go to be with God, you go to the other place where there's eternal damnation. That's no laboratory either. All that is a bunch of. Now think about this, people. Say you and your companion are best friends, right? And y'all was best friends 30, 40, 50 years on the earth. But one day, one of you dies first. And your best friend that died was saved and knew Jesus. Now, immediately when they died, they went to glory with heaven. But, however, when you die one day, and if you don't know Jesus, you go to hell to be tormented throughout eternity. Now, do you realize that the individual that goes to heaven and the individual that go to hell won't have no knowledge of each other in terms of where they are? The only way the person in heaven will even remember you is if you're in heaven. So, if you don't get to heaven and you go to hell, when you in hell, you'll have a memory of the person while you was on the earth, but they won't have any memory of you while they in heaven. Because God said he will wipe away all tears. God's not going to let nobody go to heaven and let them know that their mother or father or brother is in hell burning up. Because heaven wouldn't be heaven then. It would be misery. Okay? So God's not going to do that. He's going to spare us from that type of thing. So it's an individual process that we all have to go through so that we can walk on the straight gate so that we can achieve immortality with Jesus. It's that simple, okay? So, but if you don't think it's that important, a lot of people don't, and they think that the glitter and the glamour of this world and the things of this world are more important than being eternally separated from God, well, that's the decision you make. Nobody sends themselves into outer darkness. Nobody goes to outer darkness when they die because God sent them there. They send themselves there. And they sent themselves there by their participation in their wickedness and evil deeds while they roam the earth in their fleshly bodies. Okay? Now I'm going to continue to read, okay? And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Now, the Lord of hosts will be with you as long as you strive to enter in at the straight gate, okay? I didn't say strive to enter in at the crooked gate, because if you strive to enter in, you will enter in at the crooked gate, but you won't be going into the gate that leads to eternal life. You'll be going to the gate that's waiting for you where the devil and his angels reside, okay? So that must be avoided. There was this minister years ago. His name was E.V. Hill. He was sort of funny. One time somebody said, he said to everybody, he said, you know why I serve God? And I serve Jesus? And he gave a very simple answer. You know what his answer was? He said, because I don't want to go to hell. You know? See, in other words, hell was such a reality to him that he did everything he could as far as what, you know, God, he thought God wanted him to do in his life so that God would be pleased with him. Because he did not want to deal with the reality in his mind and intellect of hell. To him, hell was a real place. Hell is a real place, but some people try to make it like it's some kind of it's not a real place. Like, for instance, I studied, when I was in college, I studied this thing about, I think it was written by, it was a poem written by Milton, if I remember correctly. I wrote a paper on it, and it was called Paradise Lost, okay? And I wasn't really doing good in the poetry class because I had a problem with that type of English literature, and it was a little hard for me to grasp, you know, the pentameter and all these different, you know, ways it had to be done. And I was having a problem with it. But anyway, I wasn't doing too good in the course, and I had to write a final paper, you know, to try to get out alive, okay? Now, I did survive. I got a D in the course. I got out, you know. I didn't do great, but I got out. But what it was my grades were so messed up, I had to write this paper. And when I wrote this paper on Paradise Lost, when I was reading it, and the way it was looking to me, it was like a confrontation between the angels of God and the devil's angels. And this teacher who I wrote it for, she didn't particularly, she didn't seem to be too enthused about that type of, what she would call, she didn't see it in it, but she read it. But when I wrote the paper and I handed it to her, you know, because I was writing it from, I was looking at it from the way my spirit was looking at it. She looked at me, she said, I want you to come with me, and I want to talk to you after class. So I went up to after class, and she said to me, she said, young man, you know something? This is one of the best papers I've ever read on Milton. Just where did you, how did you get these, this, you know, this knowledge? Or I mean, where did this come from? How did you think about this? I said, listen, this wasn't something that came out of my imagination, okay? This is something that's been going on for a long period of time, okay? I told her I was a Christian, I went to church. So when I looked at it, I was looking at it from a Christian perspective. I wasn't looking at it from a literary perspective. That's how come I could write it the way I wrote it. So from getting an F in the course, I got up a level to a D. She couldn't give me a C because I was messing up. Well, I didn't really particularly care. I just wanted to get out. And I didn't want to take the course anyway because it was one of these required courses that you had to take so that you could get out of the university. So that was what had happened. But anyway, I'm just saying, okay, there's a real heaven, okay, and there's a real hell, all right? Now, in verse 15, it says, hate the evil, okay? Now, the world, right now, as it stands, they don't hate the evil. It looks like they just, you know, it says in the Word of God in the book of Romans that their minds were on evil continually. Can you imagine that? Their minds were on evil continually. Uh-huh. People constantly be thinking about ways to take shortcuts to get where they want to go without doing what's required, legally or doing it the right way, okay? And when that procedure is followed in that manner, sin has entered into the heart, okay? Because anything that is done without principles or unscrupulous practices or without righteousness or without the truth, really, because the truth is the central issue. And right now, there's a whole lot of people going around trying to come out with these debates about what is truth, okay? Well, all I have to say about the truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that much, all right? And then, I'm going to tell you something. Now, I want y'all to think about something that Ray say. Something can be factual, but it doesn't have to be truthful, okay? But truth is factual and truth. See, so there's a great big distinction between the two, okay? Now, that's something you can think about later on. And try it. Tell the facts about something and see if everything you say, when you add up to where you're going with the stories and stuff, if it's all true. It may not be, okay? As I said, I'm going to continue to read, okay? Hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. Now, if you establish judgment in the gate, establishing judgment in the gate is before you participate in whatever it is you're going to participate in. That area right there, or that, you know, where you're at, that's the gate, okay? Because right then, you're going to establish a direction. And right then, you are having a conference, or you having some kind of confrontation, or you having a discussion about which direction this thing's going to go. That means there's an impasse, there's a gate there. And that gate has two directions, all right? You can go through the straight gate, or you can go through the crooked gate, right? Because if you go through the straight gate, that's the good. That's the tree of the knowledge of the good. But if you go through the the scrupulous gate, that's the tree of the good, the knowledge of the evil part of the tree. So you see, you got a tree, but you got two things going on, okay? You got a mind that's at warfare with two things all the time. good and evil. And you're going to have this, all of us are going to have this warfare until the day we go home and be with Jesus one day. It's never going to go away. It's going to always present itself. Constantly, every week I go out. When I'm out roaming about, I go different places. I see the enemy. So the enemy's really something else. I see people say words, talk to me, like they're talking to somebody else, but they're trying to give me a message. And I know what's going on, but I dismiss the spirits. Then you can tell certain things if you know what's going on if you have a spirit of discernment. You got people who are really talking to people. Then there are other people trying to give other people trying to get attention. You got these spirits that are all these types of different spirits, but they're not a god, all right? Because they have to do with the fleshly cravings sometimes, and the manipulations in the minds of the individuals who's speaking these words. Right now, the words that they're speaking are not words of edification, words of truth. They're words of deception, or words that are trying to get your mind to drift off of God onto some worldly cascade or adventure, which has no purpose in eternity. So you have to be careful, and you have to be read. You have to be read up in the Word of God, and not only read up, you have to have meditated on the Word to such an extent that God can reveal to your spirit at the appropriate time how to reply to the individual or the situation. And the Holy Spirit will channel through you and talk through you and tell you how to deal with the situation, not you. You got to be put aside. God has to inhabit the vessel and speak through you to get the thing right. Okay? Now, a lot of you probably say, well, I don't understand none of that. Well, if you got the Holy Spirit, you got the Holy Ghost in you, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't have the Holy Ghost in you, then you should seek the Holy Ghost because you don't have a clue about nothing I said. It says in the Word of God that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. You cannot discern. See, a lot of people look at natural things that occur in the world, and they try to evaluate them in a natural level, you know, from a natural intellectual point of view. But what they can't see is the invisible spirit world. That's the force behind the manipulations of the natural sometimes. And if they could understand the spiritual forces of what's going on, then they would understand the natural manipulation of the forces and the people that they come in contact with that go contrary to the Word of God. It's that simple, okay? But before you can be disciplined and be able to walk that way and do that type of thing, you got to really be, you got to have your sword of the Spirit ready at all times. You can't be looking for it when the enemy pops up. You got to be walking around. You know, you got to be walking out engaged. You got to be looking for the enemy, for the enemy look for you. That's called offensive spiritual warfare. We have to take the offensive. And you don't go ask Satan for nothing. You just say, give it to me. If it's yours and God gave it to you, he's going to try to get you to have some kind of, like I'm giving an example. One time Pharaoh said to Moses said, let us leave. Let me take the children of Israel and let us go out because we want to pray to our God and something, and we'll be back. And then Pharaoh said, well, okay, you can go ahead and take them, but leave the cattle behind. See, the enemy always wants you to leave something behind to make sure you come back. Because if you don't leave nothing behind, you don't have no reason to return. Return for what? And he said, look, wait a minute. See, the enemy always wants to be a negotiator. Okay? You don't negotiate with darkness. You don't negotiate with wickedness. And you don't negotiate with nonsense. Because if it's not rooted in the Word of God, it has no application to your life. Not in a positive manner. I mean, you may gain earthly rewards, materialistic rewards, but at what price? All right. Now, and it says, okay, it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Okay. Now, it says, the prescription for the avoidance of this terrible judgment is given here. In effect, the Holy Spirit condescends as to give another altar call by saying, seek good and not evil, that ye may live. Now, an altar call is a call that God gives to people whose lives are not right with God, that they can renounce their wickedness and their sin and submit them lives to God. But not just coming up to do a verbal exercise and you got your outfit in the church and I'm going to go up there so everybody can see me with my nice suit on and I'm going to name Jesus. And you're going to worship on Sunday and curse on Monday. And then you're going to, you know, and then, or you're going to worship on Sunday, and go check out, your harem on Monday or whatever it is you're into, your crooked deals, whatever, okay? See, look, God is not a God of, see, people look at the outward appearance, see, but God looks at the heart. Now that's very powerful if you can understand it, because anytime you come into contact with people, regardless of what they say or how they may present themselves, if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, He will tell you. He will shine the searchlights of heaven off of you to see what you're dealing with, what's in front of you, what's trying to send you to something else, or whatever. He will let you see all of it so that you'll know. And you won't be deceived, okay? So it's very important, all right? Now we're going to go on to verse 18, okay? I told you we was going to skip a couple of verses. Now, in verse 18 it says, "Woe unto you who desire the day of the Lord, to what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light." Now, a lot of people are running around saying that they're Christians and they're waiting for Christ to come back and that they desire to see God come back and, in the clouds with the angels and all of this other whatever they're saying, okay? But no. A lot of these people are liars. Some of them are angels of light, and they're not looking for the day of the Lord, okay? They could care less if God ever returns, all right? And a lot of people who are in positions of ministry are in these ministries not for the souls of the people, but for the profitability they can get from the lies and deceptions that they tell the people so that they can enhance their own earthly kingdom of materialism and influence on the earth with other people, okay? So that's something you got to deal with, all right? Now, it says, a double woe. Now, see, this says woe, okay? There's two woes in this thing, okay? It says, woe is the burden of this message. The first was pronounced upon false profession, okay? Now, verses 18 to 27, that I'm not going to probably be able to clear all of them today, that talks about the process of the false profession, okay? False profession is you saying something that isn't true, or you're trying to paint a picture with your words of a lifestyle or something that you're doing that's legitimate, that's crooked or false, all right? And then it says, the second upon false peace. Now, that's very interesting. I said false peace. Look, people say, I just won the lottery. I won $100 million. I'll never be unhappy again. Wrong. No, wrong. First of all, now you're already starting out wrong. You think because you done won $100 million lottery, you're going to have peace and happiness and contentment in the earth for the rest of your life, and you're never going to have problems, okay? That's a deception, right? You will always have problems, okay, of one nature or another, right? Okay, you cannot take materialistic things, or you can't take, God said, you can only serve, you either serve God or mammon. God is you serve God in spirit and in truth, and mammon is you serve money. Okay, now, I would like you to remember to think on these things that I've talked about today. I would like to go on further with it, but my time eludes me, and I can no longer say as much more as I would like to say because of the time that has approached us, okay? Now, time is a dimension that we are in that man controls his time, but sometimes time will try to control a man depending upon what you're dealing with. That's something else for you to think about. So right now, may God bless all of you, and it's always a pleasure to speak to you and come to you to talk about spiritual matters that can uplift the soul. May God bless you and have a nice day.
Wasn't that wonderful? Let's have what they call encore. Amen. Elder really teach this morning. And if you have any comments, and you can write them, and ask your questions, and he will be glad to reply to you either on the next session or he can do it in writing. So the address is P.O. Box 25885, Fayetteville, North Carolina. You can tag us and look at us on Facebook and Twitter. So God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Amen. And we hope that, amen, that we're able to help you in in a spiritual way. So God bless you.